fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a romantic road trip.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I want to go play hide and seek. I want to go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray.
Welcome to Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Valentine's Day, we celebrate lifelong love. And to help us do it and to give us advice on how to do it, we have two of Central Wisconsin's most beloved couples, Walter John and Rose Chilson, and Phil and Margaret Karspecken, who have kept their love lives and their marriages going strong for more than 50 years. How do they do it, and what is their view of how this world has changed and how romance and relationships have changed in America during their lives together? And today, especially today, we want to hear from you. How did you first meet that significant person in your life? And how did you know it was for real? And if you've been together a long time, how did you get over the rough spots and the tough times and keep those relationships going strong? Give us a call about that special person that makes you feel so young at 261-6371, 261-6371, or toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742.
And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. 'Cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel
Walter John and Rose Chilson and Phil and Margaret Karspecken, thank you so much for being with us on this Valentine's Day. And let's start off by seeing who wins the longevity contest here. Walter John and Rose, how many years have you been together?
55, right, Rose?
Mm-hmm.
55 years. Phil and Margaret?
66 and a half.
Oh, goodness.
But who's counting? Who's counting? When and where did you first meet? I think that's the obvious place to start with this. Walter, John, and Rose?
Okay.
There were 8 girls in our family, and I was the 5th. And my mother wanted me to have a skill. So I went to learn radiologic technology. And I was working at Holy Cross Hospital in Merrill in the X-ray department. And I went into Margaret Chilson's room to do a EKG. And there was this man sitting there behind the newspaper. And I thought, how can he be doing that when he should be talking to his mother? But I forgot to mention that after I got out from work, I scooted to my room so I could turn on the radio with Eventide Echoes, and it was poetry and a wonderful voice. And when I heard that voice in the hospital room, I knew it was the same voice.
The same voice you heard. Walter John, what were you doing reading a newspaper in your mother's room at Holy Cross Hospital?
I was actually reciting poetry, rehearsing How Do I Love Thee, Let Me Count the Ways.
And what year was that?
Oh, gosh, what year was it? In 1949, I think. Mm-hmm. We courted for quite a while. The old story about a man chases a girl until she catches him prevailed pretty much.
I think all 3 of the males in this room can probably attest to that.
We dated for quite a while. I wasn't ready to get married, and Rose was making it pretty clear she was, so she divorced me a couple of times before we got married. And but I usually found her by coaxing her mother to tell me what her address was and things like that. I went to Northwestern University for summer school and did some acting down there, and radio announcing and radio acting, and then...
Was that after you'd first run into Rose?
Yes.
So there was a period of time there before the two of you tied the knot.
Oh, yes. So and then she came down to Northwestern and got a job at a hospital down there at Evanston. And then I packed up and went to California, and wasn't long before Rose came out to California. And then finally we decided to... get married. We want to hear from the Karspeckens, but there's a good story there. After we decided to get married, we didn't know whether to get married out there or in Wisconsin, and we went and talked to a priest about getting married at
Carmel.
Carmel, a very scenic, beautiful site. And he said, Walter John, how many people in your family? I told him. And then we told him about how our indecision. And then... he said, Rose, how about you? How many members in your family? She said, I have 12. No, yeah.
11.
Huh?
11 and brothers and
11
sisters.
11 brothers and sisters.
Oh, my.
And he closed the book and he said, go home.
But you both grew up in Merrill, correct?
No, I'm from southwest Wisconsin.
You're from southwestern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Oh, you were working in Merrill.
Yes, I was.
And Walter John, you grew up in Merrill.
That's right, yep.
So the two of you met, Walter John, before you became a celebrity and before before you had your long and storied career in politics. So there's something real there. It certainly wasn't infatuation based on the image people often have of those of us who are on the airwaves and
working
in politics.
I think my eventual notoriety made it much more difficult for Rose and raising eight kids especially.
Mm-hmm. Phil and Margaret, where were you when you first met?
Well, we are both we're native Iowa Hawkeyes, and but we grew up many miles apart. But we happened to go to the same college at the same time in 1938, Cornell College of Iowa, and we met during freshman week there, and we met at a party. So the next day, I called her and got a date. They called them dates in those days, and that's how it all started.
And I never let go.
We both felt that it was a wonderful way to start a romance. Cornell's got a beautiful campus, all on the same hilltop, a little town, Mount Vernon, just east of Cedar Rapids. And we had just some wonderful years there together, and we just felt that was a wonderful way to start a romance.
Yeah, we got a Christmas card from the two of you, which had a picture of you from those days in college. And
yeah.
I think the two of you were sitting on a little brick fence.
Yeah.
And wow, it was obvious that the two of you were in love and very young and very idealistic.
Yeah.
And here you are 67 years later, still very much in love, not quite so young, but still very idealistic.
Yeah, right. This makes me think of a kind of a fun story. We were with our bicycle. We were biking on the San Juan Islands, and we were celebrating our 48th wedding anniversary there. And there was a couple there, a doctor whose wife had died, and a woman who had a messy divorce. Anyway, they said 48 years, and they were living together, but not married. And so they said to Phil and me, how do you stay married for 48 years? And I said, first you get married. I didn't approve of the situation. That was then, of course, now 50%.
Well, there are still some people who don't approve of situations like that. We're talking to Phil and Margaret Karspeckens and Walter and Walter John and Rose Chilson, who have each had marriages that have been together for many, many years. The Chilsons for more than 55 years, the Karspeckens for more than 65 years. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Where were you when you first met that person that you fell in love with? How did you know it was for real? And if you've been together for a long time, how do you keep it going? 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin on the Ideas Network.
Hello, Central Wisconsin. This is Leanne Hansen, host of Weekend Edition Sunday from NPR News. I'm looking forward to coming to Stevens Point on March 4th for the Wisconsin Public Radio Central Region's Listener Dinner and UWSP Willett Lecture Series. Please call 800-749-3906 for details and reservations.
For more information on regional programming for North Central Wisconsin here at Wisconsin Public Radio, or to have your community event listed with us, check out our local website at wpr.org/WLBL.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
Again, this is our Valentine's Day show. We've got Walter John and Rose Chilson and Phil and Margaret Karspeckin talking about their long lives and loves together. And we do want to hear from you. Our lines are still wide open, and this show will work best if we can get some phone calls and get you to participate. How did you first meet one another? And again, if you've spent a number of years together, what's your secret? What are the things you do to make sure that the love that you first experienced the first time you met stays with you over the years? 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. How did you know it was real? How did you know that this was going to last forever?
I don't know whether it's anything electric that happens right away, but on reflection, Rosa said that she heard my voice and was in love. Am I putting words in your mouth?
That's all right.
Before,
wouldn't be the first time,
no,
I'm sure.
Before we met. And then I think there was a fascination, a physical fascination, you know, and that's one of the things I suppose we ought to comment about, that electricity is there to begin with. The passion is there to begin with, but that does fade over the years, and you have to substitute real affection for that as it begins to disappear.
Well, that physical attraction, you know, let's face it, without it, we wouldn't have children, would
that's
we?
Right.
No, that's true. It's there for a natural reason, and not only that, it's there for mutual enjoyment as well.
And Phil and Margaret, how did you know it was for real?
Well,
you know right away?
With our first date, I came in afterwards and I said to my friends, if he'd asked me to marry him tonight, I would have said yes, because he had such marvelous ideas, and I didn't know there were guys like him around anymore. So how do you like that?
And how did you feel on that first date?
Well, I had the total fascination, all right, powerfully. I noticed, first of all, her Irish blue eyes and her smile. And as soon as I saw her, I said, I'm going to date that girl and get acquainted. And the very next day, as I said before, we got together. And I'm a romantic type. I must admit, I love to croon songs. And we'd stroll over the campus on a full moon night, and I'd sing Stardust and Deep Purple.
And, Hoagy Carmichael.
Hoagy Carmichael. And Mitchell Parrish wrote those lyrics. People don't know that, but Mitch Parrish was a wonderful lyricist. And just today on public radio, I heard Stardust, which was nice for us old-timers.
Yeah.
And then I also heard Jerome Kern's All the Things You Are, which is one of my very favorite songs, which I crooned to Margaret more than once.
Can you still remember the lyrics to Stardust?
Oh, yes.
Sometimes I wonder through the long and lonely night, dreaming of a song.
But there's a prelude to that people don't know.
Love
Wait a minute.
And now the purple shades of twilight time, steal across the meadows of my heart. Far up in the sky, the little stars climb. Always
reminding me
that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Now our love is stardust of yesterday, the memory of love gone by. Very sad song. Mm-hmm.
And that's
beautiful.
That's the introduction to the song, which
a
lot of people don't play anymore. They go right to the main part.
Just the main part.
Phil and Margaret Karspeken and Walter John and Rose Chilson, we're going to go to the phones. John in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Hello, John. Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you, and happy Valentine's Day, and congratulations to both couples who I consider role model. I just wanted to quickly make a statement and then sort of ask a question, you know, maybe a sort of an advice thing for a newlywed. I've only been married, it'll be 13 years this year, so, you know, by comparison, I'm a newlywed, and you know, I just wanted to make a statement and then ask a question. That is, as someone that's been married 13 years, what I've found so far that I think a lot of younger couples don't know is that you do go through difficult times in a marriage. And I think the marriage that survives or the love that lasts is the one that is willing to see the bad times through as well as the good times. And the rewards, like they always say, come later on. But I guess my question is, is that what you found with both couples? And congratulations again. Thank you.
All right. Hang on for a second, John. Let's listen to their answers.
Yeah, well, the good news is, John, you're past the 7. You're rich. Well past it. So I think there's a good indication that you have made a commitment. And I think that's the important thing, that a commitment to one another is in addition to the love you feel for one another. That's one thing that couples these days, I think, they get married and say, well, let's try it. If it doesn't work out, we can always split, you know. And that's a big problem. You have to have a commitment, because there are, as you say, some tough times. I think for Rose and me, our having 8 children and trying to set a good example for our children has carried us through some tough times, and our religion as well, which is part of our commitment, has been very important for us, our faith.
Phil and Margaret, how do you keep it going? How do you keep it going longer than the 13 years that John has experienced?
Well, you have to give a little, laugh a little, let your poor heart break a little. That's the glory of.
That's the story of.
Yeah, and we had some tough times, and we give a lot of credit to the wonderful friends we've made in Wausau, and we both had loving, caring families as examples. And also, our church has meant a lot to us and the wonderful people we've met there.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John, and good luck. Speaking from my experience, Mary Beth and I have been married for 30 years just this past year. And like you, I view the two couples who are with us as inspirations, and I think there's something to what Walter John said. If you can make it through that first 7 years, you probably got most of the tough times behind you.
Well, I'm optimistic. It's been going very well, but I just wanted to get their take on that. And you know, you can never take the other person for granted. So,
and John, let me ask you a question. Where were you when you met the person you fell in love with?
Actually, I was in Milwaukee. I was born and raised in Milwaukee, and my wife is originally from Vesper. And we were introduced from some mutual friends, and it was not really a date. We weren't officially asked to be on a date. It was more a group of college friends going to a Halloween party, and everyone was all dressed up in different costumes and whatnot, and we just hit it off. So
there you go.
We've been together ever since, and that's about 15 years when you include the courting, the time before we got engaged and so on.
You didn't just rush into it.
No, we didn't. We dated for about a year, and then we got engaged and set a date. And then a year after that, we got married. Mm-hmm. And that was our wedding date was May 20th, 1995, which doesn't sound that long, but it'll be 13 years this May. So.
Do you have children?
We have 2 daughters, ages 8 and 10, beautiful girls. We learn a lot from them, too, but, yeah.
You bet. That's the test, I think.
All right. Yes. Thanks so much for the call, John.
There's an anecdote about the tough years, and that is that a fellow was asked, how long have you been married? And he said, we've just celebrated 50 years of happily married life. We've been married for 55 years.
Uh-huh.
Well, children are a real challenge, and I think it's because of different views on raising children that cause a lot of separations from what I've read and heard.
Different views from the two couples that are together?
Yeah. Yes.
The two people in the couple? Mm-hmm.
And Margaret remembers, and I vividly remember more than once yelling out, I was not cut out to be a parent. But you go through some very rough times, but then I think one of the greatest thrills of life is when your children grow up, go out on their own pathways, and start to form a life for them. And then when they get together at family reunions and you see them enjoy each other's company and really love each other, and it's a feeling you can't even quite put into words.
And they're our best friends. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly true. Mary Beth and I waited a long time before we had kids. We were married almost 10 years before mm-hmm. we had our first kids. And now I wonder why we waited so long.
Yeah.
And it is just so delightful to see these children grow and mature. And the two of them are the best of friends. And our lives would be so empty without them.
Yeah. Mm. I want to echo what Margaret said, that having kids is such a great joy, and there is a division of responsibility and views. I know, as I said early on, that Rose deserves so much credit for raising the eight kids while I was gone in Madison 3, 4, 5 days a week.
Oh, man, you must have had your hands full.
On the phone, we discussed things on the phone in the evening, and she would recount to me all the individual bad things that the kids had done, and what was I going to do to punish them when I got home, you know. Well, then I'd come home, and I'd swat every one of them, and they'd say, what's that for? And I said, I don't know. Must have been something.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it, Walter John. We're talking to Walter John Chilson and Phil and Margaret Karspecken. We're talking about their more than 50 years of marriage together. We want to hear from you. Where were you when you first met the person that you fell in love with? How did you know it was real? And if you've been together for a long time, how do you keep it going strong? 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're going to listen to Billie Holiday into the news break.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day.
It's the last song that George Gershwin wrote before he died.
And
yeah, that brain
the telephone
tumor.
And
yeah, that's the very last one that
we know.
We know all the lyrics, don't
may
we?
May just yeah. be passing yeah. fancy.
Frank Sinatra, Love is Here to Stay. Love is Here to Stay. That's the theme of Route 51 today. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, 800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guests, two couples who've been together for more than 50 years, Walter John and Rose Chilson, and Phil and Margaret Karspecken. We want to hear from you, and let's go right to the phones. We've got Ellie from Wausau. Ellie, you're on Route 51. Happy Valentine's Day.
And a happy Valentine's Day to you. Can a daughter call on behalf of her parents who had a wonderful 56 years together?
Absolutely.
I'm calling regarding Doris and John Ulrich, who met on a blind date in Madison, Wisconsin, August 8th. The date escapes me. Both had dated a lot before they met, and both knew they were, in quotes, the one upon meeting each other.
Elliot, it's so good to have you calling us today. How's Doris doing?
Doris is wonderful, and I have to tell you, the friend that set them up on the blind date said he never saw them apart from that date on. On their 50th anniversary, we were all gathered as a family over breakfast, and I looked to both of them, and I said, what is the success of your 50 years? And they locked eyes, and they didn't skip a beat. Dad looked at me, and he said, we both pursued our own interests. We grew as individuals and as a loving couple and parents. They lived a blessed life, as you all know, especially Margaret and Phil and the Chilsons. A beautiful 56 years together.
And Doris is just one of the lights of anybody's lives. If you run into her, you'll have a smile on your face for the rest of the day.
Always. And to this date, I have to add in, my mom, Doris, and I either celebrate that blessed August 8th, or at least I call to say, that's the luckiest day of my life, if we're not together. And I have to second Margaret and Phil Karspeck, and it's taken me years to call you by your first names, but now that I'm 56 years old, I have to second that the church is and will always be a very important part of our lives.
Well, it was certainly important to Doris and John, and big supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio, incidentally, and we certainly... appreciate that. Wow. Phil, Margaret, anything you'd like to say to Ellie while she's on the line here?
Well, it's great to hear from you, Ellie. I usually just speak to you in church, but this is a little bit unusual.
And I'm in the parking lot at Pick and Save.
Oh, well, that's something.
On my cell phone, because Mom called while I was getting my hair cut to make sure I didn't miss this program.
Good. That means Doris is listening, too. Hi, Doris.
Doris is listening, and I'm going home to fix her Valentine dinner tonight.
What are you having?
Lamb chops.
Wonderful. My favorite.
Brussels sprouts, and Doris's favorites, Brussels sprouts and baked potatoes.
Kate, can you set a few extra places?
Yeah, we'll be up there.
not tonight, folks, but soon we will look forward to seeing you all. And, Glenn, it's so good to hear your voice on the radio.
Ellie, it's great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the call.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
As you well know, Ellie, your mother played a tremendous role in the development and strengthening of public radio in Wisconsin. And we're mighty proud to know her for all that she contributed.
And such a pillar of our church.
And I am the luckiest daughter in the whole world.
Well, you are lucky.
Yeah, and happy Valentine's to all of you and the listeners, and thanks for giving Doris the credit she deserves.
Oh, yes.
Thank you,
Ellie.
I'm
very proud of her, and happy Valentine's, and to the Chilsons, too.
Thank you.
Well, same to you, Ellie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Ellie. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. If you want to talk to Walter John and Rose Chilson, or Phil and Margaret Karspeckin, or all four of them on this Valentine's Day, let's go back to the phones. Jerry in Wausau, you're on Route 51. Hello, Jerry. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, yes, thank you. I'm one of those people who have never tied the knot. And I get it from all sorts of sides. My late sister, when people would ask her why her brother never married, she'd say, I guess he just hasn't found the right victim yet. And then I would get these ones like, a bachelor is someone who's never made the same mistake once, or a bachelor is someone who's lucky in love. I will be celebrating, assuming people married after college graduation in my cohort, in a couple years I'll be celebrating my golden anniversary of bachelorhood, so it's a little bit a different take on things. But I will say this, since people were talking about our good friend Doris Ulrich a few years ago, in fact, about the time I moved to town, I had suffered a broken neck and had a collar and the like on. And I met Doris at church. We both sat in the back pew because we didn't want to make spectacles of ourselves. She was at the time using a walker, recovering from something like that. So we've had this bond through the years. And I must admit, when I see Doris, I think to myself, maybe I did make a mistake in not getting married, but that's life.
Jerry, have you
not
ever...
too late. She's available.
Well, yeah. She's probably got fairly high standards. So.
Jerry, have you ever been tempted?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, this is... Oh, now that you brought that up. Yesterday, I was back in my hometown for a funeral, and I met a couple of my classmates, you know, and, of course, they're... Several of them are widowed now and the like, and we have a good time when we get together. And I thought, gee, I don't know, maybe I'm still in that age group where I could hustle a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's some very nice people there. So, yeah, I think about that a little bit. But I did have the advantage of extended family, a fairly large family, and we owned summer property together and the like. So my nieces and nephews ended up being kind of somewhat in between what – typical children would be, I was going to say normal children, but that would be stretching it. Typical children and your own children and nieces and nephews. So I've had, you know, close ties with family and the like.
Well, Jerry, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for giving us a different take on this.
Yeah,
because,
okay.
Marriage is for many people, but it, you know, it isn't for everyone.
Yeah, and I do enjoy the independence, I must say that. So. Mm-hmm. Take care.
Thanks, Jerry. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We want to hear from you on this Valentine's Day. Our guests are Rose and Walter John Chilson and Margaret and Phil Karspecken, two couples who have each spent more than 50 years together. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Ministry Healthcare, known in Weston as St. Clair's Hospital and Ministry Medical Group Weston, on the web at ministryhealth.org.
You get enough jargon and double talk in the rest of your life. Why would you want it with your science news? I'm Ira Flatow. Each week on Science Friday, we skip the bogus and buzzwords and don't dumb down the big issues in science, medicine, technology, and the environment. So join me on Science Friday as we discuss science sensibly. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Those numbers again, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We've got about 15 minutes left of the show. If you'd like to share your first experience together with your significant other, when did you run into the person that you love? Did you know it was for real right away? And if you've been together for a long time, tell us what the secret is. How did you keep that longevity? How did you keep that relationship strong? How did you keep your love strong when so many people seem to give up so easily? 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Have you set a good example for your children? Do you think that's a big part of being married?
I think we have that phone call from Doris Ulrich's daughter is an indication of how important kids are. Our kids also are very close together. We just talked to our daughter Patty in New York today, and she reminded us of part of the example Rose and I set when we'd be sitting around the dinner table at night. On occasion, Rose would say something very sweet about the kids or about me, and I would say to the kids, put my fist on my chest and go, kaboom, 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 kaboom. and Rose would say, oh, Walter. You know? But Patty said she told that story to somebody else. The other day they said, oh, how sweet. You know?
Eight children, though. Eight children. Yeah. What a handful. And you with your life in politics, again, away from home for for much of the time. Rose, you must have had your hands full.
Well, I did, but the kids all helped each other, took care of each other. And like I think Margaret mentioned, they're such great friends now. It just amazes me because I used to think these kids are going to kill each other before they grow.
And Phil and Margaret, you have four children.
Yes.
And how are they doing?
great. They all are in what they're want to be in, and we feel very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And somebody mentioned that how important it is to keep your own interests, and there needs to be space in your togetherness. Mm-hmm. And we have felt that that has really helped our marriage, because we each have our own individual interests besides our mutual interests.
Now, we heard from Jerry, who is a committed bachelor, and, the kind of marriages the two of you have had are not for everyone. But Phil and Margaret, you have a daughter who's in a relationship that is not a heterosexual relationship, and yet she's very much in love, and I'm sure celebrating Valentine's Day as well.
You betcha.
Yeah, her partner, they both live in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great relationship. We're very, very thankful for the way that's all turned out. And Margaret said something about this Khalil Gibran's the one said, let there be spaces in your relationship. I think marriage, the ideal marriage would be a blend of dependence and independence. And Ellie Ulrich mentioned that independence was an important thing in their marriage, her father's and mother's. Marg and I know of couples who, a few who are too dependent on each other, totally. And, I think that's too bad. I remember, a friend of mine, we were talking about love and marriage, and he said something very significant to me. He said, well, Jan, I not only love Jan, but she is my best friend. And to me, that does say an awful lot in a few short words. You'd rather be with, I feel Margaret is my best friend. I feel more comfortable and complete and happy around her than anybody else. And when you're married to your best friend, why, you have it made.
What can you agree on and what can you disagree on and still keep that friendship and that love going strong? Can you disagree on politics? Some couples can. Some couples go out and vote for different candidates, different political parties.
I think you can. You have to be tolerant. And tolerance is a very, very important thing, and sometimes it's totally lost in people who say they have the only right point of view. But Margaret and I have one of our differences is in a sense of humor. We both have a lot of good laughs together, but my father was a real creative guy, and we had great waves of laughter around our table. But Margaret always said to me, you know, you Carspeggins, you have a weird sense of humor. Well, we were in New York one time and went to a play, and it was with Maggie Smith, that wonderful, famous British comedian. Maggie Smith could just make gestures, and you laughed your head off. She was remarkable. But we sat watching this play, and the whole theater was bursting with laughter, and Margaret was sort of sitting there a little bit solemn. I leaned over, and I said, Margaret, isn't it strange? 99% of the people in this theater have a weird sense of humor.
Walter, John, and Rose, what do you think you can disagree with your partner on, and are some things just sacrosanct?
Well, we agree on our religion, and we tried to agree on how to raise the kids and give them moral support whenever they in whatever they did, and I think we agreed on that pretty much.
Politics?
Mm-hmm, politics.
Can you imagine a couple like James Carville and Mary Madeline, who are scheduled to be here in September? How in the world can those two share a household together?
I think they rehearse their public disagreements with each other. Something phony about that. I cannot imagine a relationship like that being successful.
Now, you two have worked together, Phil and Walter John.
Yes,
you've worked on
yes.
projects together. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's not like we're bringing a bunch of strangers together here.
Well, I did a lot of film writing for Wausau Insurance, and in our early films, Bobby Geisel and I worked together.
And Bobby Geisel and Barbie, that was another great love story.
That was another great couple.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Both departed in recent years. But so I'd have a script done, and Bobby and I wanted to get a good voice. So we thought of Walter John more than once. And so we put together several films with Walter John doing all the narration. And we had some very good feelings about the results we got.
Oh, I remember one incident when we would wait until the TV station went off the air because we had to use some of the equipment, studios and so forth, to do the recordings. And it was a complicated film with sound effects. And they had to come in just perfectly. And we had to do a half hour, about a 28-minute thing, with no stops. So I had to do the narration without making any mistakes.
Because you didn't have time to edit.
That's right. There was no way to edit it.
Yeah, if you made a mistake in the last minute of the film, you had to go back and do the whole thing over again. It was pretty primitive equipment in those days.
But I think, to Phil's credit, some of those won some awards, I believe. They wound up being very successful.
Mm-hmm. What are the things that you think couples should avoid? What are the things that can kill a relationship or can bring you right to the edge if you don't handle them right?
I think one of my prime faults is being not really mean-spirited, but in an argument I like to put other people down. And I think that's something I've got to guard against extremely, be very careful.
But that's human nature, isn't it? When you get into an argument with somebody and you're making a point, well...
It is.
You're not going to put the other person up on a pedestal.
It is human nature, but other people can say, well, I think we just don't agree on that. I think one of the techniques I've used to end such a volatile discussion between Rose and myself is to say, you know, you might be right.
Phil and Margaret?
Knowing that she's not, of course.
Well, we've been with couples sometimes that argue and disagree in public, and we just can't understand it. We think that's just terrible. And we try to see each other's viewpoints. We don't always agree. For one thing, I love bridge, and Phil doesn't. But he puts up with my playing bridge, and I put up with him not willing to learn to play.
We've got that in our family as well. I love bridge, and Rose detests it.
I play bridge just when I have to, which is usually once or twice a year, and that's all I want.
Do you think it's easier to keep a long-term relationship going strong in central Wisconsin compared to a big city environment? Say, compared to a place like Chicago or New York or
Or
are people the same everywhere?
Well, I think you can have your own group of friends in a big city. I think it just depends upon the community you're in. It can be in a big city.
Well, there are less tensions in a town like Wausau. The traffic jams in a Milwaukee or Minneapolis, people have to endure that every day. And the older I get, the more thankful I am that we have to drive in a moderate-sized town.
Yeah, I think there are blessings, like Phil has mentioned, in being in a small town, but I think we can't set ourselves on a pedestal as being better people than they are or having better relationships between husbands and wives than people in large cities. I think many successful relationships, I think there often is perhaps too many more temptations in Los Angeles or Hollywood or New York.
And in a sense, those strong relationships that develop in those cities, those people, you've really got to give them a pat on the back for dealing with all the stress and the pressure and the temptations. Why do you think there are so many divorces?
I think really a lack of commitment is the most important reason. There are a lot of distractions. I think materialism, we haven't mentioned on money, apparently is the big disagreement that tears a lot of families apart. That's the number one reason given, anyway. And I think there's too much emphasis on materialism and not enough on spiritualism and interpersonal relationships.
Have Phil, I'll let you weigh in on this. Why the number of divorces, and what can couples do to avoid it?
Well, I think one of the big factors is in recent years, women, they have to work to make ends meet, and that makes a big difference in a home environment. Of course, a lot of women prefer to work, but I read a statistic somewhere recently that said that 80% of today's families do not eat together. And that just appalled me, because some of the pleasant memories I have are family dinners around the table when I was a child, and in our marriage too. And they just don't have time to even eat together.
Mary Beth and I both work. We both have full-time jobs, but we make sure that we have dinner together every night. It might not happen until 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, but we set the time aside with our family. So maybe there's something to that.
That's important. That's valuable, I think.
Well, you know what? We are out of time. We are plumb out of time.
Where'd it go so fast?
Yeah, what happened?
Where did what go so fast? The past hour or the past 67 years?
Yeah, that's true. Something to think about.
That too.
Phil and Margaret Karspecken.
Thanks for inviting us.
Walter John and Rose Chilson. Thank you so much for making this a very memorable Valentine's Day. And thank you for listening. Thanks to those of you who called with your memories and your thoughts. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Today's musical selections by Frank Sinatra, Billie Holiday, and Carmen McRae. That's it for us today. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for riding with us. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Love is ended before it's begun. And too many moonlight kisses seem to cool in the warmth of the sun. When I give my heart, it will be completely. Or I'll never